Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men TV.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
It is the Uncensored Match Builder.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Show Liverpool taking on West Bromwich Albion in the fourth round of the FA Cup at Anfield in the shittest kickoff time there's ever been. It's the late on a Saturday night. I'm joined by Chris Pajak. I'm joined by Ross Chanley. Let's talk about it. And let's get stuck straight into it, Chris. This Liverpool side should go into this game with a point to prove, not just because of the dismal performance against Swansea on Monday, but also going back to the draw with these guys toward the back end of last year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people need to stop talking about how Liverpool can't break these type of sides down. And the only way that they're going to stop talking about that is if Liverpool go and break these sides down, as they've done earlier on in the season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We've had one bad result in 19 or whatever it is, and you know, this squad need to go out there and prove that they can go and break this down, and it was a one-off. And not only that, it's the FA Cup. It's you can play with a little bit more freedom in the cup. There's not 3 points riding on it. You know, we want to win a trophy this season. I think that's obvious. It's at our place. It's a slightly different type of an atmosphere for an FA Cup game, especially late. I'm not sure how the atmosphere will be. I imagine it'll be buzzing for it.
I agree.
And these lads will be wanting to go out there and prove people wrong.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is the thing, Ross, Chris and I, the podcast this week was excellent, and we talked a little bit about the FA Cup.
You were great.
You You were all right. The FA Cup, I mean, Arsene Wenger's had a little bit of a dig this week. He's saying he's not getting enough credit for the FA Cups that they've won in recent years. Liverpool needs silverware. Liverpool as a club, Liverpool as a fan base, Klopp as a manager needs silverware. I personally would be disappointed if we didn't do everything in our power, if we didn't go strong for this game. And in some regards, I know we're not set up to knee jerk react to stuff. So there's a chance that this team will have been picked 2 weeks ago, and there's a chance that, you know, Swansea will have had zero impact. I'm hoping that we put as much of that team from Swansea out as possible, because if nothing else, as Chris says, I don't think we're going to rotate as much between now and the end of the season as we've seen in the first half of the season. And it's vital that the players who are in our best 11 just get into the swing of beating teams like this, because people will consider that the template, what Swansea did there. You know, we've seen a few examples of it. People will think if they can get points off Liverpool by parking the bus, and this team, these players need to go out there and be like, nah, try it, see what happens, we'll spank you.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to what Chris said about the atmosphere. The fans want to see the best team out there as possible, because we as fans want trophies, the players will want trophies. I think times have changed that people didn't really prioritise the FA Cup, but I think when you look at like to Man City and all the other teams around Europe, you know, your chances of getting the Champions League and the league have changed. So for the rest of the top four or five, you know, it's a trophy you want to go out and get. And at the end of the day, when players finish their career, they look back and they want to win something as well. So why shouldn't we go balls out and just go, you know, yeah. we're not having this. I don't think the Swansea game will be in the players' minds at all, because it doesn't matter. Last time we lost, we didn't lose for 19 games. Just go and do that again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Interesting question for you, Chris, because it's come up this week. Daniel Sturridge is really keen to play in this game. He's back to fitness. The move to either Inter or Sevilla, you know, unless it's happened, you know, in the 24 hours following us filming this, it's likely that he will be a Liverpool player still by the weekend. It poses the question, because I think where some of the, I guess the upset around potentially seeing him leave is that Liverpool, without going out into the transfer market ourselves and strengthening, we are, if you let Coutinho and Sturridge go in one window, you're throwing goals out of the squad until Ings and Solanke prove themselves in front of goal. Daniel Sturridge is the only other guy we've got who plays in that position who has proven that he knows how to score goals for Liverpool on a consistent basis. So the question is, for you, you've done some great stuff on the stats and tactics of late, is it better for you... I'm going to find the answer there.
Yeah, it's good. Someone's just texted me.
Is it more important for you to have a guy who tactically fits what the manager's doing, or to have someone who, you know, more often than not, if you put him on the pitch, he's going to be more likely of sticking the ball on the back of the net?
I don't think it's black and white as that, to be honest with you. I think it's very difficult, isn't it? You know, Sturridge likes to play in his own sort of way, and not that he can't do the pressing, but it doesn't come naturally to him. You know, we've had it where this Liverpool side looks great when there's 11 players playing in a very, very rigid formation, but fluid within that formation. You know, the swapping is worked on in the training ground between the front three players and stuff like that. So Sturridge is a bit of a maverick in that regard. I think he likes to just find a little bit of space, and it might not be what Klopp wants. Aguero is exactly the same for Man City, actually. I think that's why Guardiola ultimately was looking to get rid of him. But Aguero's so good, he's world class, that you have to just keep putting him in the side regardless, because he's going to score goals. So listen, come the end of the game against Swansea, we threw Van Dijk up front. Now, I'd rather have had Sturridge in the box than Van Dijk, to be perfectly honest with you. So there's times during these type of games where Daniel Sturridge makes perfect sense. If you're just going to throw everything away tactically and throw Van Dijk up front anyway, you'd rather have Daniel Sturridge in the box with his left boot than Virgil van Dijk almost.
In addition to this, Ross, if Sturridge is going to go anyway, now, yeah, there's a nice thing of, hey, give him a big farewell send-off, whatever. What's the point?
Well, money in the bank doesn't score your goals this season.
No, absolutely, exactly. But the point is, if he's going to go,
there's no point in buying him.
Exactly. What is the?
You might as well get Ings up to speed or Solanke up to speed.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think having both options going forward is what we should do. If he's fit and ready to play, don't start him and have that Ings in there who can do that job and do the press. And it's not working out, like you said, you've got that other option of having Daniel Sturridge in there. I understand people not wanting to play him, he's going anyway, but I think he's in your squad, use him. Because that's what you're there for. Yeah. You're not there to be nice to people and to go, well, are you going anyway? You can have the day off.
Yeah.
Go, no, we still pay your wages. You've still got a job to do for us.
That's a good point.
And until you're out the door, you do it.
Well, it's a point that, you know, if you want to progress, you should progress by hook or by crook. It would seem stupid to me, and a lot of this seems stupid around our transfer policy, Chris. If Daniel Sturridge is the guy who scores the decisive goal that sends you through,
we sell him,
and then we sell. You know, and then we sell him. We let him go out on loan, and then, as I say, that's what it boils down to. It would be a bit of a strange decision for me to give him that game time. And as you say, because if the decision has been made that Liverpool can't go out and get anyone else, they can't get any of their top targets or whatever, and they're not prepared to compromise that again this window. So therefore, they're putting their trust in Dom Solanke and Danny Ings. We've got to surely get at least one of them into form somehow. An FA Cup game against a team that's going to allow us to have the ball and try and do this, decent chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Ings and Solanke will both be wanting to try and get a start in this game, won't they? I think it would surprise me if Firmino starts this one. It really would, because I just feel that there's more to be gained. And listen, I'm not saying Firmino shouldn't start this game, but for me anyway, there's more to be gained by getting Ings or Solanke on the score sheet. I think that's crucial, because Sturridge has shown he can come off the bench and affect football matches, whereas Solanke and Ings, yeah, they've had good cameo appearances, but they've not put the ball in the back of the net, and they've not had loads of opportunities.
Not legally, anyway.
Yeah, they've not had loads of opportunities, and that's fair enough, but you need to get strikers' confidence, and these are the type of games where you can get them probably a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an interesting decision to be made, and what does Liverpool's striking pecking order look like now? The fact that Ings gets the run out at Swansea would suggest he's edged above. I mean, there's the thing, Ross, is that to what playing into form, what we've been able to do with Ings is that we've played him into form in the under-23s to some extent. Mm. You know, he's gone through the rehabilitation process. He's been playing football this season, and he starts to score a couple of goals before he's been, you know, put back into the first-team contention. Solanke maybe hasn't had that. But I think Solanke's got more to his all-round game. I think there's more potential there as a player. It's an interesting one. If you had to rank them, who you put Ings ahead?
Solanke?
Yeah.
Danny Ings, just with the amount of time he's been at the club, we know his qualities there, but then at the same time, I've been excited when I was in Solanke, like the Tranmere game at the start of the season. Just kind of looked at him and thought, you know, he's got something about him. I think it sometimes depends on what team you play. So you're playing West Brom and you've got massive centre-halves and massive midfielders. Is Solanke big tall presence going to benefit you more than a pressing Danny Ings?
I think, weirdly, I would always go the other way. Although I could never figure out what were the best defence to play or best team to play your big target man against, because it never worked. I've never seen it work properly for Liverpool.
Liverpool have never been good at it.
Yeah, you know, if they've got the big bill, they're used to a more direct approach, then Solanke's probably going to get eaten up, isn't he? Mm. Whereas Danny, in that instance, you probably want someone who's a bit closer to the ground, who's got a little bit tighter control. Does a little bit more of the harrying and hassling. Be interesting. We're going to come on to look at the lads' preferred 11s in a moment to see what they've gone with. I think there's an interesting discussion on the goalkeeper as well, which we'll have in a moment. But before we do, we mentioned this last week, it is back, and it is back with a bang. Chris's Stats and Tactics show on the RedmenTV.com is excellent. If you want a deep dive into what's going on at Liverpool Football Club on the pitch, how the games are being won, and this week how the games are being lost, to work out whether it's something that's a flash in the pan or whether it's systemic or whatever, Chris has got you covered. Let's have a little look at what he's doing on that show. Fantastic, that, Chris.
Thanks, mate.
I could just as you so come then.
Go on. Shit, that, Chris. yeah, brilliant. Doing these every week.
Yeah, loving doing them so far, actually. You know, I've enjoyed doing them, but the feedback that I've been getting is amazing. Like, I mean, you know, from the subscribers, just loads of people saying that they've loved it, and people saying they love this one more than the Man City one, which is, you know, that's absolutely brilliant, because we got beaten, yeah. You know, and if people are enjoying the content more after we've got beaten, yeah, that's a real credit to it.
Yeah,
so,
just yeah, it's perspective really though, isn't it, that you're giving people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's worth mentioning, as I say, we do this stuff every single week. We do loads of the couch-based stuff. If you want more of this stuff, you've got that on the RedmenTV.com, Reds Transfer Roundup every week. The Final Word Show, it's an hour looking into the game, where we have, you know, the casual relaxed chat and thoughts and feelings and all that. But if you want more of the in-depth stuff, you know, it's been said sometimes that we do take things a little bit too lightheartedly. You know, that's at the core of what we do, absolutely. But we've brought that, we're bringing the extra levels of detail, depth analysis that you're just not getting through the mainstream media. So if you need every aspect of Liverpool Football Club covered, whether that's video and podcast and written content as well, the redmentv.com, highly advise getting onto it. Start a 3-month trial, get involved, see how you feel about it and let us know as well. If you've got it already, let people know in the comments below. By the way, if you're getting on well with the subscription, always good to have a little bit of word of mouth. Don't take our word for it, take the word of the people. Comments below. Lads, preferred 11 time.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We've gone... we've all gone for Danny Ward in goal. Yeah. It's interesting, because we had a little chat about this at Swansea, because he was there in the warm-up. Now, Liverpool often take an extra goalkeeper, or an extra outfield player as well, just to get them involved in the mix. And Woodburn was there doing the warm-up, but I don't think he was involved on the bench.
He wasn't, no.
Danny Ward was there. Now, we've seen a lot of the young keepers getting a look in, and I surmised that it might be a good way just to get him back into the flow.
Match
of
day routine.
I feel he's almost certain to be on the bench for this. Mm. But we've got him preferred. Do you think there's a chance that he actually will start this game?
No. if he doesn't, it's a massive sign of what's going to happen in the future. If he's not going to start mingling in goal for this.
But I don't see the point in putting Mignolet. I think there's a 0% chance Mignolet will start this game.
I think Karius is going to start this game.
I agree. Mm. I think Karius is likely to start this. But again,
Klopp come out and said Karius is our number one, he'll start from now until the end of the season. Not Klopp coming out and saying Karius is the number one in the Champions League and Mignolet is the number one in the... That's him saying that he's the number one.
Yeah. Well, it does say to Simon Mignolet, what's the point of you if he doesn't get
involved? That's what I mean. He's not even on the bench. What does that mean for his future then?
But again, it just says, what's the point of fucking Danny Ward? I mean, unless this is just one opportunity just to remind the world that he exists and he's available for transfer, what is the point? What I can't, other than, yes, you need three goalkeepers because if you have an injury crisis, but... Well, you've got... Well, no, he's injured, isn't he? But you've got Grabara, haven't you, playing for the under-23s and turn up. And no, I don't think he's, by all accounts, he's not ready to be thrust into the limelight or whatever. But I don't know. I will paraphrase Steve Hall once again. Danny Ward just must be the worst in training that the world has ever seen, because why he's not been given a sniff this season. I thought he looked good in the league. In the League Cup, I don't know, we lost that. But, yeah, baffling to me. I would like to see him involved, certainly. And I think, why not? I think Karius gets the league and the Champions League between now and the end of the season. I think this is a little bit of a... This is maybe the exception. Although it will inevitably lead to people speculating about whether Klopp trusts Karius if he drops in for this game. I don't think Klopp will care about that.
No,
but I think this could... I think it's a possibility, but I agree. I think Karius will more than likely... I've put Moreno at left back. As you've got Moreno too. He's been back in training for a little bit now. We'll know when Klopp does his presser whether he's fit and available for it. But what was you thinking on putting him in?
Robertson's played a lot of football. You know, he went through 3 months of the season probably without very much football. Maybe one that I can remember was it Crystal Palace or something like that. And then he's just played a lot of football. It's probably about time. Not because he's played badly in any way, shape or form, but you want to get Moreno up to speed. This is a game you can do that. Equally, Trent's been rotated in now all season. I think it's nailed on that he's probably going to start this. And the centre-back pairing for me is, you just play these two now. You've just got to make a partnership there, yeah. Forge that partnership.
Exactly. It's so much of this is centred around. I think it's going to be a similar challenge to Swansea. As I said, a similar challenge to what it was last time we played them. They will, you know, they'll sit deep, they'll look to defend for their lives, and they're going to challenge us with breaking them down. Well, you're right, Matip and Van Dijk, we saw what happens with Swansea. You know, we saw them playing far more advanced, looking to be a bit more creative, looking to play a little bit more give and goes, looking to support the attack. They need practice at doing that. I actually think Moreno and Trent are two more, both more attacking options, although this is not a criticism of Robertson at all. And it's not like Moreno's been amazing in the final third, but he has still got a decent assist return, particularly in Europe, more than the Premier League, though. He's fit and available. Get him back up to speed. He needs to get games. Because we might need him You know, Robertson could pick an injury up, and what's the point of Moreno coming cold back into that? And then past that, I've gone Solanke up front because of what we said prior to that. I think we need to get someone else up and running. But everyone else, I would go as attacking as possible. We need to learn how to, or we need to continue our development in beating teams that set up like that. So go loads more attack and see if you can stumble upon a solution. Ross, the only interesting one, you've both gone for Danny Ings up front, but you're keeping Genie Chan in the midfield.
Yeah, I've only because of the physical presence of West Brom, and I know you've got Van Dijk and Matip in there, but I'd just rather have that security of them there, and then Lallana brings you creativity. Yeah. And we've seen Genie can bomb forward on numerous occasions. I'd just rather
I agree, and to be fair, that's why I would prefer Chan in there. You've got a bit more gung-ho in your midfield selection?
Yeah, I mean, I've taken Chan out, really, because I think he needs a bit of a break. He's played all the football, you know. There's no one in this squad who's played more minutes than Emre Can since December the 1st, and, you know, you've got to give him a break because, listen, if Henderson comes back in, he's not been in the best of form this season anyway, so you rely... Like, it's a bit different with Moreno because he was in great form. In the Premier League and the Champions League, the way the two of them have been performing, it's Chan all day at the moment for me. Mm-hmm. So rest him in this game and make sure that he's fresh for others. I want that creativity of Adam Lallana. Gini Wijnaldum's not played as much football as some of the others, so I think he'd stay in there for me. And then, yeah, Ings up top because I want to see him get a goal, to be honest with you.
I mean, I'd put Ox and Lallana in a game because more in hope than in expectation. I wouldn't actually mind seeing Milner play in one of the more advanced roles. I think this game's probably got Milner written all over it, hasn't it? FA Cup. Bit of Jimmy Milner, give him the armband and all that. Like, be interesting to see what we do. Loads of options.
I think you have to try and limit your rotations. Well, like you said earlier, going into this last period of the season, try and get that rhythm and momentum with people while you can.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So let us know your preferred 11s in the comments below. Before we get onto the score predictions, just a quick look at what some of the rivals are doing. Man United have Yeovil on Friday. Of course they do.
It's a terrible kickoff time, that, though.
It's a pretty bad kickoff time.
5-8.
Well, because it's 5-8, not because it's a Friday night.
Both.
Friday, I love Friday nights.
5-8.
Yeah, it's the best. Why? What's wrong with that?
I just don't like it. Why? It's neither here nor there. It's 7:45, isn't it?
Is it because you're you need to round things up? Why is 7:45 fine, but 5-2 is not?
I'm used to it, Paul.
Sad. Man United with an easy draw on a Friday night. Shocker. Spurs away to Newport County. Chelsea Newcastle could be interesting, but it won't be because Newcastle are shit. and Man City away to Cardiff. So look, you know, I think we probably got the most challenging test of the teams at the top end, which means it might be one to go at. I think Liverpool do need to start fast and start as quick. I think that's always the key to these games, isn't it? If you allow them to get confidence, if you allow them to get set, then they just get stronger and stronger as we start to toil a little bit. And equally, it'd be nice to not have to expend too much energy. It's one of those games that in an ideal world, you get done and you get a couple of changes. I'm not sure it will necessarily go that way. But also it means as well that there's a lot of clubs there who are going to will be booking their place in the next round. It's going to mean the next round is another difficult round. We might see a shock or two, but you know, there's a lot of teams going to be gunning for the FA Cup. We should absolutely be amongst them. Score prediction, Ross?
1-0, Danny Ings.
Nice.
1-0, header from a corner.
Okay.
For us. Let's go Van Dijk.
Sure, why not? Yeah, absolutely. But,
we did this a couple of years ago, didn't we? Where we scored two goals against them and it was from us from corners, whereas everyone thinks it's the other way around.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a terrible game of football, if I'm perfectly honest with you. And yeah. I think we're going to sneak it from a corner.
I think, like I say, if we're capable of getting the early goal, then I could see it being a nice 3-0. If not, it might take a bit of a dirty last minute bit, you know. Otherwise, the worst case of this has got replay written all over it for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, it really does.
It's going to take. I think it will take, as ever, I'm repeating myself, but you will always have to repeat yourself for these type of games. It's going to take a little bit of magic or a little bit of luck just to break them down. And once we do that, let this team do what it does. Who can provide that magic? Dominic Solanke, all day long. He's due his goal, isn't he? Score predictions then in the comments below and preferred 11s. Any thoughts on anything we've discussed? As I say, if you want the stat show, if you want the Reds transfer roundup, and if you want the final word show and a whole mass of other bonus content, including in-depth interviews with journalists around the transfer stuff. Jonathan Northcroft in the bag this week, Chris.
Yeah, Bascombe last week.
Chris Bascombe last week, Chris Williams the week before. We've got everything we can give to you covering Liverpool from top to bottom. So if you like podcasts as well, get involved in that regard. It's free for a month and it's £5 a month thereafter. Highly recommend it to all people who want to know everything about Liverpool from the heart of the city itself, / just off to the side in Hunts Cross. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the match. I'll be back post-match. Check it out. We'll see you there.